Hello everybody, and welcome to the new UK radio show, Kevin's Cosmic Capers. My name is Kevin Smith, and I have a few things to share with you. As we by now must be aware, we have two selves, effectively. We have our real selves, the real you, which stands in the real universes of the ears at this very new moment, and the personal little created self, which stands in the creational simulator. Of course, there is no separation. The real self, the personal self, the real universes, and the creational matrix all are a part of the ears. And so, if everything in fact is, there can be no separation from this perspective. This real view, the perspective of one standing with the ears, universally positioned in a state we may call being isness. There is only one place that an individual can place themselves that would give them a limited sense of perspective, the sense that there is space and time, the sense of separation. That would then be a position of not standing with the ears. For if we step outside of the ears, if we no longer ears, then we must be with our personal created self. We have chosen to slip into creation, therefore. Creation is a part of the ears, and at this moment we can stand real with the ears while still being in the simulator, but only if we have the awareness that this is possible. If we are aware of the true reality that from our literal perspective is beyond creation. If we have no knowledge of the ears, then all we have is creation, for our experience reflects always what we decide, what we choose, what we are aware of and incorporate into our lives. This, we can say, is our focus, our attention, and where we place this massively impacts our experience. We might well say that focus is one of the primary means by which we navigate the matrix, where we position ourselves, and ultimately, if we supersede it altogether and universally position ourselves with the ears. How can we focus on something that doesn't even feature in our considerations, something that we have no awareness of? We all will have our real selves standing with the ears, and even with no awareness of the true reality, we will have access to the intuitive self, the ethereal vehicle, and so we will always have nudges from the intuitive self. We will always have a sense that there is something beyond what we have always known. But again, unless we can pinpoint this nudge, unless we can determine the nature of it, we cannot place our focus and intent with the all is. This we call our real intent, the purpose for why we are in this simulator, that is, to recognize the is and stand real with it. In the meanwhile, then, we are rather floundering in the simulator. We are chasing our little personal self-intents, all the various goals, thrills, and objectives we deem so very important. Without any knowledge of the real universes of the is, this would make sense, for what else might we do in creation, if not create and experience the effects of our creations? This is, of course, the nature and design of the Matrix. It is provided as a tool, a means to generate experience through our creations, collating a database of experience that we store in our causal Akashic vehicles, that someday the knowledge of the is might become known to us. We may one day become aware of it, and then put all our experiences, all our references to good use, that being as comparisons to recognize the is. So, in the meantime, we gather our experiences. We may not have the awareness that the is exists, or that we can stand real in the new nowness moment of it, even in creation. And if we are not being isness, we are in place outside of it, literally speaking, and everything becomes separate. There is space, distance, time, and segregation of individual experiences. Individuals may well conquer aspects of their personal selves. They may get a handle on the five vehicles that incorporate the created self. Many meditators and mystics throughout the eons have certainly conquered the emotions and the mind, getting control over the emotional, astral, and mental vehicles. This would have them then, on transitioning from the physical, bypassing these life levels and finding themselves in the ethereal level. Again, everything is, everything contained in this and every new moment, all five life levels and vehicles is, effectively, and only from the perspective of one not standing real with the is, would the levels, the vehicles, appear separate, and distance seems to exist between them. Travelling seems to be required to get from point A to point B. Anything other than standing with the ease, standing real in this reality, and we will have to travel as we navigate the physical life levels and the life levels that seem beyond. If we are still in creation, then we haven't the full recognition of the ease to be able to supersede the simulator. And so we might say we cannot fully be standing with the ease entirely. We can be in the new nowness of the ease, but we are still in the simulator, and so we are restricted to the trappings, the rules of the matrix. We are resigned to the personal self-consideration of separation. We have to walk from point A to point B. Some individuals do recognize the ears at this time and stand real with it. Dwayne Hepner certainly did not have to return to the Matrix. He might very well have remained with the ears, but he accepted the task as the best candidate for the position. So we can see that even with recognition of this true reality, even with no need to be in the simulator, once you step within it, you will require the vehicles that correspond to the five life levels and have to deal with the limitations all this implies, that of separation, time and distance. Even the real guides, if they operate on the physical life level, must be equally hampered by distance and space. They would, as everyone on the physical level would be, subject to cause and effect, for it is cause and effect that is the principle that forged what seems to be space and time for the literal personal self's consideration. Beyond the simulator, in the true reality, everything is. There is no cause and effect. Naturally, then, there is nothing that seems to present as the passage of time and distance traversed. Cause and effect is the design of the simulator, for without cause and effect there would be no experience, and experience is essential for our causal reference catalogue. Everything we cause, everything we create, everything we activate through the facilities of our five body vehicles, the ideas, agreements, etc., we then have the experience that follows the effect. It's a little like bringing an image onto your computer screen. We might call this an idea in its potentiality, an idea we have formed with our mental vehicle. If we decide upon it, if we agree with it, it is like hitting the enter button on our keyboards, The image now is on the computer screen, in the computer, and not just a potential idea yet to be cemented, to be agreed upon. The idea has transitioned from a floaty idea notion with little substance to an agreed upon idea, and now it must feature in our life, or a future life as experience. We can see then that the entertaining of ideas or emotions isn't necessarily a hazard in regards to generating experience we'd sooner not have, especially when we are endeavouring to focus on the ears and remain as best as we are able in this being-isness, new nowness state. It's only when we cement an idea, we decide upon it, we agree with it, that it's rather a done deal. We have now created, and the experience that follows must be walked through. Of course, we can change direction. We can decide at any moment something different. We have far more options when we have far more awareness. What is decided in one moment can now be abandoned with an equal measure of decisiveness, and perhaps we may experience something of the original cause, the original idea, maybe a faint whiff of the experience, but not anything like its full magnitude. Ideas of an emotional nature, even if abandoned, can still have the emotional vehicle stimulated. It's like priming the pump, preparing a machine for use, getting it powered up to capacity, then switching it off instead of utilizing it. The machine will take time to simmer down, a few groans of protestation from mechanics that were preparing to roar into life as they settle back and slowly return to a dormant state. Like when you turn off the kitchen stove, it will not return immediately to its dormant state. It takes a few moments to cool. It is this way with the emotional vehicle. It is one of the most potent of all the vehicles, perhaps the most difficult to get under control, as it is the vehicle most utilized. We say how every individual is generally physical astral, as most experiences unconscious peoples will have a tendency to forge will be those stemming from the astral vehicle. Ideas of an emotional, thrill-seeking variety, as this is predominantly the vehicle most utilized for experiences. It is the strongest, and when it comes to the moment in an individual's lifetimes, they seek to get control of the body vehicles, it is the emotional vehicle that undoubtedly will be the most difficult to deal with. And so perhaps, as an example, we might have an idea. We make a decision, and our decided idea is based on emotion, and we might then perhaps decide different at the point where we are about to actualize our idea. Whatever action this idea may take, with the inevitable effect experience that must follow. Even though we have now perhaps evaded the full extent of the effect that would have been ours should we have followed through with the action or cause, the emotionally charged astral vehicle takes its time to simmer down, and we get vague echoes of the effect regardless in the moments we may have experienced the full magnitude of the effect we had decided to exact. And in the moments that follow the abandoning of an emotionally charged idea, the idea remains. It diminishes slowly in its intensity, but it is rather the discipline to be in the experience of having the emotional idea demanding to be executed. And it is rather easy to give in to the strength of the astral personal vehicle and allow it what it wanted. With unaware individuals, they will not fully appreciate the benefit of the ease. Their connection to it and the greater options afforded of experiential control in their lives. Most individuals will simply create, with little or no understanding of the mechanics of creation, or how they are deciding and forging their lives, based on the ideas they create and decide upon. People then will simply chase what they crave. They will cater to the emotional self mainly, and their experience will unfold according to the specifics of the particular brand of emotional idea they decide upon and activate. We can say then that these individuals are unconscious to the process of experience activation. Not necessarily a problem, as they are still forging experiences for themselves, despite the nature of them. All experiences are required for our causal catalogue, for our possibly one day recognition of the is comparisons. Without the knowledge, the awareness of the creational experience forging process, it is very easy to decide and agree with more than our own ideas. For naturally, no individual would decide upon ideas and agree with ideas that resulted in severe and restricted experiences, if they indeed understood this is what they were doing. fully acknowledging and understanding the process, even with no awareness beyond this simple principle, would have people ensuring their experiences were nothing but exactly the design and type of experience they wish to have. But being unaware of this experience creating a process, it is very easy to be manipulated by others into having experience that is not based on what individuals would wish for themselves overwhelmingly, but more so based on the experience the manipulators wish them to have. It can truly be said that if an individual doesn't decide their own lives, others will decide them for the individual. In other words, if an individual is unaware to this process, if they are not fully grasping the reins of their own cause and effect experience generating mechanics, then others will seize the reins from them. It's all about agreement and decision. Deciding something and agreeing to something of our own devising will result in experience according to our own creations. But agreement can be made with the ideas, the creations of others. This may not necessarily again be an issue if the ideas were of a kind that didn't result in a restrictive experience. It would then be important to determine the intent of an individual, or the intent of the individuals behind a proposed system. As is generally the case, the physical life level is a very literalized, presented front, and the intent of individuals can be very easily obscured. Only if we are to go to the real side, utilizing our awareness and see beyond the literalized five-sense curtain of the physical life level, can we ascertain intent and agenda. The best determination of the ideas that are the foundation of any proposed systems can actually be gleaned by the literal senses. We simply need to look with our eyes and see the world around us. Always there will be individuals in creation who understand enough of the mechanics of the simulator that they appreciate how they can bring about anything they wish. They can create worlds and universes in the image they desire, if they have agreement. And with unconscious individuals oblivious of this creational process, it's very easy to get them to agree with ideas not their own. The idea easiest agreed with is one that appears to be beneficial on the surface, that seems to be a good thing from the perspective of the personal literal senses. Banking systems, 9-to-5 work systems, religious systems, etc. All those that bring forth these ideas must secure agreement for them to take root in collective reality. They must be packaged in such a way as to seem to be something they are not. As humanity is waking up to the nature of these systems and a dawning realization that these ideas in fact are not what they seem, retraction from agreement would seem logical. To ensure agreement is maintained, however, programming occurs at life levels unseen. Subliminal bombardment of ideas and concepts assault the subconscious as daily occurrence through the various technologies that feature in everyday life. Unconscious individuals will sit before their televisions and receive constant subliminal imagery beneath the threshold of their visual senses, and if unchecked, this will enter the subconscious and be tantamount to agreement. The ethereal vehicle is then targeted in this fashion, bypassing the emotional and mental vehicles, and beyond a level that the unconscious masses will be aware of, and even if they were, would be unable to prevent. And subliminals are not always necessary to garner agreement, as simply watching TV movies, incorporating all the array of themes that they do, what we might call predictive programming. And if we regard something and accept it all, determine the movie to be great with all the themes it encompasses, it is tantamount to an agreement with the ideas that the movie represents. And as you might imagine, most movies will have the sort of themes, the sort of ideas that the controllers wish to have agreed with, and thus feature as everyone's experience. Again, it's very evident that agreement, by and large, has been funneled and channeled through the various means to ideas of a distorted and destructive nature. For if our experience reflects the ideas in agreement with the effects equaling the cause, then by the very fact the world is in the demise and polluted state it is, it's very clear that the general ideas agreed with are those of an equally destructive nature. With a little common sense, and just utilizing our five senses, then we can determine the intent of the individuals whose ideas we agree with, based on the experience we have. Consequently, no real side intent determination required. Naturally, no one would consciously decide to destroy the planet they live upon. Everybody would simply be chasing their thrills and having experiences of this nature resultingly. And so it is apparent that as the planet is in a demise, as the solar system and creation is compromised and teetering on the edge of the final epoch, the vast majority are agreeing with ideas that are exacting this deterioration. Effectively, then, agreement is to the systems of the planet, the systems that must stem from ideas of control and now destruction, as everybody's experience is that of control, restriction, and now demise of the planet they live on. For we can see that as these systems were introduced, the state of the planet declined, the systems representing ideas, and evidently then ideas of a restrictive, destructive nature, as everyone's increasingly dire experience would indicate. When people become aware of the mechanics of creation, the means by which experience follows ideas created, decided, and agreed upon through the five body vehicles, then they have moved from an unconscious state to a conscious one. From here now, they would have the option of taking control of their experience by what they choose to cause and create. If they do, for whatever reason, create something, then we say they become the conscious effect of what they decide. A step up from being the unconscious effects of one's unawareness, but still having to have the experience of that which they consciously chose to create. Being in a creation, one would always be creating something, or there would be no experience, and our reference catalogue would stop having additional references added to it. Perhaps not a problem if we have amassed enough references and are ready for comparison and is recognition, but if an individual had no knowledge or awareness of the is and the purpose, the references, the experiences of creation serve for recognition of the is, then an individual may well cease operating the experience-forging vehicles and perhaps reach a nirvana state. They would, in fact, be sitting at the border between creation and the real universes. Perhaps less possible at this current time due to the subliminal programming, even if one were to conquer the mind and emotions, the ethereal vehicle is still being programmed, and we may think we are not agreeing to ideas, but if presented with them, and we consciously do not discard them, we in fact are. Absent of technology, a mystic could still be beyond programming to an extent, but technology now becomes ever more prevalent and abrasive, and with Wi-Fi and electromagnetic smog that we are subjected to, even if we don't turn on the television, there is no escaping the programming and subliminal effects of technology, nanoparticles and Wi-Fi that operate unseen and may reach us even if we were sitting cross-legged on a mountain miles beyond the nearest television. Theoretically, if one reached the deep, dark border, they are beyond all programming. But this position would be rather a void, a nothingness, and an individual always seeks to expand awareness speaking, and if it cannot, it will slip back into its personal self, generally through boredom. Who would want to sit in the deep dark border forever, a whisker away, in awareness recognition terms from the real universes, and far from the next best alternative, that of personal self-thrill seeking in the creational matrix? If you have a personal vehicle in creation, you will be subjected to the bombardment it receives through all its five parts, regardless of your awareness and recognition of creation and the ears. But with the connection to the true reality, with the new you song, with intent and focus placed there, you are standing in creation and the real universes, as indeed everyone is, if they did but recognize it. So on the one hand, your physical created self is receiving its bombardment, but on the other hand, you have the connection to your real self that is beyond creation, and therefore beyond the programming. As anything that happens to the physical body has nothing to do with your real self and real awareness, so we have moved then from the unconscious effects of everything to being the conscious effects, to now having the connection with the real universes of the ears. The final option then is afforded, even as we stand in creation and do the things we do. For yes, we are always creating something. We are always taplined by something, influenced by something. We are not here just to hide in a cave or a mountain, but be an active participant in waking up humanity. We are here to become aware and assist others to do the same, for we all are experiencing what we chose to create, what we agreed to. If we did not have a hand in its creation, we could not be experiencing it, and so it falls upon us all to face that which we have created, the experience we have played a role in forging. This is what we call facing creation. And we are encouraged to share and assist others in this endeavour, in this recognition of the ears and their real awareness. This we term earning our way. We effectively earn our awareness. The more we share the ears, the more the ears shares with us, in equal measure, the everything equaling itself principle. Again, because we operate in creation with our sharing, the cause and effect principle applies. And so, if our causes, if our creations are the sharings of the is, then our experiences, our effects, will be in alignment with the cause. In this case, we have the experience of more awareness in proportion to the sharings that we do. We are now utilizing the mechanics of creation to not simply forge experiences, to chase thrills, create ideas just for the personal self. For if we did, the experiences, the effects, will be catered experiences for the personal self only. They will not be in any way awareness orientated. If our only consideration is for the personal self, if our focus and intent is solely for the personal self, then the experiences will be as limited. Real awareness is a facet of the real self. It is not anything to do with the personal self. And so, if only the faculties of the personal self are activated for the purposes of satisfying the personal self, then no awareness can be gleaned, only experiences in creation. Once focus is placed beyond creation, once intent is with the ears, and what is being created is now for sharing the ears, then this is no longer for the personal self. As the personal self cannot understand or recognize anything beyond itself, as it lacks the tools to perceive beyond which it was designed for, and that is the simulator. If an individual is now sharing the ears, it must have a degree of recognition of it, as everything demonstrates its awareness by its actions. You would not stand with and share and promote something you are unable to recognize, and this would be the personal self. It cannot recognize the ears, and would have no interest in or see the point of promoting and sharing it therefore. Any sense of wishing to share the ears then demonstrates real awareness, demonstrates the connection to the real self, the recognition of real intent. And as we then share the ears, as we utilize the mechanics of creation to do this, the effects will still be experiences as they are with any idea decided and agreed upon in creation, but it will be experience, it will be effect, that will be in the form of greater awareness. The more we share, the more we must be connecting with our real selves, the more we must be moving out of our personal selves and the consideration of self, the more then the filters of the personal self move from our real recognition, the more awareness we then have to recognize more of this true reality. As this process is allowed to continue, as everything equals itself, as awareness is now the experience we effect through the causes of ever-escalating is-sharing, if we endeavour to keep it moving. For if we do not, we will get bored. We are in a place of not recognising the is, but are beyond the next alternative of the personal self. And if we stay here too long, we will slip back to the alternative, that of personal thrill chasing. But if we continue on, crashing through our self-imposed limitations, facing all of creation and ourselves, severing agreements, attachments, and shaking off our tap lines, then eventually we earn enough awareness, utilizing cause and effect creation in this manner, is sharing, equaling experience awareness, that we ultimately can recognize the is, and recognize how to be with it, to the extent that we no longer need the five body vehicles, and they simply will fade away. So yes, we can say that in creation, everything equals itself. Everything is a reflective bubble, the effect in equal measure with the cause being whatever we decide or agree with, our creations, in other words. And as with all our experiences, our effects reflect the causes. The idea creations, our personal self, decides for itself. The experiences, the effects equaling the cause. The same applies with the ideas we create that are of the sharings of the is. We can say then that awareness becomes the experience, the effect of the cause, that of sharing the is, and awareness experience then is in equal proportion to the extent of our sharing of the is, to the extent that we move beyond the personal self to the real self, as only the real self can recognize the is. So experience switches from personal self-experience only, experience just for future references, to the initial connection with the is and the real self through the new you song. And that is why we say the experiences we have on the real side are very valid, and for our viewpoints, references and comparisons, but they are still experiences. Still more so for the personal self, but experiences of a more expansive nature as we move beyond the astral, emotional, generated experiences that up until now we generally are creating, or the experiences from the agreement to ideas of others that look good to the personal self. As we continue to share, to continue to present the ears, we will still have experiences, but now our experiences, our effects of what we are deciding and focusing on, are more along the lines of awareness, as opposed to experiences in creation, regardless of the extra expansive quality of the experiences. We are utilizing the mechanics of creation throughout this process, because it is in creation that we must be, to recognize the is from, via our experiences. But the nature of experiences change in accordance with the personal self gradually diminishing, in that it is more the real self we connect with, and so experiences will less be generated from a personal astral mental idea creating standpoint, and more from the real self, from a position of being isness. And the real self just is. It doesn't add emotion or thought to itself. And the more we connect with our real selves, the more we put aside the more limited creational tools that are our five body vehicles. We still have the physical body. We are still in creation, and we utilize the faculties in the same way to create. But we are creating now from a real self perspective, more than a personal self one, and the experiences will be more expansive as they move beyond the simple thrill-chasing experiences that the personal self always indulges in. So our experiences now are more awareness, and not the experiences we have been accustomed to. Awareness far superseding individual experience that is required for awareness and is recognition. Again, experiences are for the personal self, and as we move more so into our real selves, the experiences are less needed, as the experience we now have as the effect of our ease sharings are not so much individualized adventures on the real side, but more awareness of this true reality. Awareness and recognition of how to be with the ease, to stand real, and have no necessity for the personal self. For the personal created vehicles have served their purpose. They have afforded us all the experience we required for our comparisons. We have utilized creation for experiences with the body vehicles. Now we utilize its mechanics to afford us awareness, and gradually more emphasis on awareness than the experiences. For we can have all kinds of experiences on the real side and with the guides, but we still need to recognize the ease, and so we must supersede the want to have experiences, the want that must stem from the personal self, as the real self wants nothing, it simply is. So experience becomes more expansive, the personal self less influential in the nature of the experiences. The experiences are more so than awareness, utilizing the creational mechanics of cause and effect this whole time. And finally, we have enough awareness and recognize the ears. And we stand real with the ears and discard the five body vehicles and supersede creation. Now we are beyond experience. We are everything. We is and need nothing by which to recognize the position we now stand in. Cause and effect no longer is required, as we have no need to generate experience of any kind to recognize a position we now have assumed. In creation, yes, everything equals itself, this being a reflective effect that administers the experience, and later in our process, the awareness, in proportionate measure to the cause, or the sharings of the ears, later in our process. Only this equaling cause and effect principle exists in the simulator, therefore, for in the true reality, it isn't so much that everything equals itself. Perhaps we can more readily say, everything is itself. Everything is. And that concludes the new UK radio show, Kevin's Cosmic Capers. I hope you found it awareness-provoking, and I will finish with the new you song. New you. I'll see you on the real side.